racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Well, it's nothing new, but it's certainly true. The show goes on. After an exciting week at the Masters, the PGA Tour rolled on to Hilton Head Island for probably the most laid-back tournament on the schedule. Hi, I'm Bob Bupka. So proud to be here with Jay Randolph Jr., better known as STL Golf Geek, and you're in the grill room now, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. Quite a week, Jay.
No doubt about it. You take a look at what we've been talking about, an unlikely winner, 38-year-old Satoshi Kodera from Japan. The guy had made $172,000 at PGA Tour events. I mean, even ardent golf geeks like you and I don't know hardly anything about this cat. Came in a four-hole playoff. They moved up the tee times on Sunday. But, Bob, this just illustrates. We have been trying to tell people that when you have a field of 132 or 144 players in 2018, any of the 144 can win. Proof of it Sunday with some guys trying to hold on to the lead, guys looking for their first win, and it became the Kim and Satoshi show.
Yeah, I think it's the first time in history that at least I can remember. Maybe you can remember another case like it, Jay. But, you know, the player that finished first and the player that finished second, neither one, would admit to speaking English, whether they can or not. That's always somewhat of a mystery. But it certainly was unusual.
Well, without question. But, you know, I mentioned my friend Skip Berkmeyer, the fine mid-amateur player, and I texted him on, I guess it was Saturday, maybe, of Augusta, because I was watching the live coverage on themasters.com, and I watched a lot of Haitong Lee, or whatever his name is, and he's the kid from China. And I texted Skip, this guy's got real big-time game. And he said, just get ready. There's more coming. There's a feeling among some people, Bob, that what we saw happen on the LPGA Tour with the Asian invasion or the Far East invasion could be starting, the beginnings could be starting now, and if Sunday was a perfect example.
No, you're right about that. I felt that way for quite a while. Yep. I will boldly say that within 10 years, 10 of the top 25 players in the world will be coming from Asia. Let's wow. listen. Let's listen to what Satoshi had to say after his victory. He can't speak English, neither can I, so we're even.
Well,
I agree with what he said, Jay. How about you?
I think he nailed it.
Well, then he was asked, would he take up membership on the PGA Tour? And once again, no surprise. Unlimited number of opportunities to play on the PGA Tour is a dream come true for the young man. And, you know, just got married 2 weeks ago, so quite a month he is having. Siwoo Kim, our reigning players champion, was runner-up. Ian Poulter, Jay, probably ran out of gas coming down the stretch. That was his sixth event in a row.
Well, and we know what was going on before Augusta, a lot of turmoil and whether he's in or out or not. And then the win to get him in Houston and then making the cut at Augusta, playing so well off the bat. You know, going into Sunday, nobody would have looked better in that plaid blazer than Ian Poulter. But, like you said, I think he just hit the wall on Sunday.
Well, it was interesting going back to Satoshi. He had that plaid or tartan jacket on and was asked what he thought of it. And very politely, he said that he didn't think he'd be wearing it too regular. So,
well, you know, again, congratulations to a guy that has been a journeyman, you know, 28 years old. Like you said, life-changing experience with getting married, even maybe a bigger life-changing experience with getting a two-year exemption on the PGA Tour. Siwoo Kim continues to show that he's moving up the ranks and, you know, becoming maybe a top 20 player. And, you know, it's kind of that laid back week after the Masters, and with the early tee times, it lost a little of its luster. A lot of people were focused in on what was going on in the home country of Jon Rahm, Bob, as he was trying to win in Spain.
Well, I got to tip my hat to you, and the Grill Room listeners are loyal listeners, and we want to thank them for being part of this show on a weekly basis. They heard you tip Jon Rahm very early on. You saw something in the talent of that guy. You called him Rombo. And boy, oh boy, is he living up to all of his expectations. The one oddity that I came across that really surprised me, Jay, he was number three player in the world going to Augusta. He finishes fourth in the Masters. He drops to number four in the world. So that's a tough route to climb. You know, I'm sure he's going to move way up now. Maybe, you know.
Back to third.
Yeah, back to third. And probably has sights on getting to number one. And I think he could do that with a major. And I certainly think that he has the potential to win on any of the three courses remaining on that major schedule. Before we go any further, though, I came across something, and I was so proud of you, Jay, because it concerned the Normandy Golf Club, and it was featured on the golf travel website, Where to Golf Next, and they did a marvelous job telling the tale of Normandy. I know you had to be bursting with pride when you read that account.
Well, it was a very kind piece. It you know, we try and combine a long history of golf in St. Louis and being what we call the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi. There's always debates about it. But we, you know, in the last couple of years, Bob, since I came on board out there, I've tried to restore. Our superintendent needs the most appreciation because he's really done a tremendous job. But we're trying to, you know, it's an old school golf course. I'll never forget the day that you and I and Janice got to play the Palmetto Golf Club in Aiken and love, you know, I told somebody one day I'd love to somehow make this the Palmetto in Aiken. I can't do that, but we're trying to make it better. And I was really appreciative of that nice piece.
Well, any of our listeners, you in that St. Louis area, you want to play a special track, you go to Normandy. You'll really appreciate that.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, heard on KTRS, the Big 550. In St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, TalkSport 2, TuneIn, Audio Boom, iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker Alexa to play The Grill Room Golf Show, and guess what? You'll be connected.
Let's turn now to the headlines in the news, gambling and the sport of golf. PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan says he's in favor of working out a way to have sports gambling and include golf in that picture. You on board, Jay?
I'm not sure. I've got a lot of friends. You know, I do the DraftKings usually once a week. I got a friend of mine that sent me a thing on Saturday night with his team, and he was in second place in a deal where he would have won $40,000. And he told me on Sunday, as the weather started to get bad, and he had Luke List earlier in the week, he put a flyer on Satoshi and won. So it's really fascinating, especially now, Bob, with this live betting where, you know, you can look at the leaderboard with nine holes to go and make a bet on the guy. I don't know. I think we got to be very careful. I just don't want people to get hurt themselves personally in a financial way. But certainly, you know, the commissioner knows it's out there. You know, he's not making any, he's not trying to hide that he knows that people are building a DraftKings team and they're betting on it, and they've been doing it over the pond forever.
Well, right now on our Vertical Groove hotline, morningread.com's Alex Maselli. Well, he has a lot to say about gambling on golf. Actually, he has a lot to say about a lot of things, but not really too important. But this one is important, so let's listen. Joining us now on the Vertical Groove hotline, founder and publisher of Morning Read, the fastest growing source for anything golf on a daily basis. His name is Alex Maselli, certainly very familiar to all the listeners of the Grill Room. Couple topics I want to get your opinion on today, Alex. It's very apparent that Jay Monahan, the new commissioner of the tour, took over for Tim Fincham, is in favor of legalized gambling, which would allow people to bet on golf. Do you agree with that sentiment? And if not, why? And if you do, why?
150% I agree with that sentiment. Jay Monahan is in the majority of commissioners in sports in this country that believe that sports betting would be good for the sport. Now, let's just, before we even get into the U.S., look outside the U.S. What country doesn't bet on sports outside the U.S.? I mean, it's almost unanimous that sports betting happens on every sport. I don't care if it's tiddlywinks, if it's whatever sport it is, badminton in Taiwan, betting goes on. So if that's the case, then the question has to be, why wouldn't betting be okay in the United States? And I mean, as much as parochial as we are, at some point we've had to decide that, you know, this makes sense. And the reason it makes sense is because it brings tax dollars into the kitties of these particular federal or state governments. So how do you do it? And I think, you have to be concerned. You have to be concerned about sports betting currently in the United States that's not bet legally, meaning through bookies and through other ways, because those are the ways that that kind of action can create an environment where players are somewhat convinced to do something they shouldn't do. And it's happened in the past in basketball and football, shaving points and so forth and so on. If you take all those other sports out of the equation and you just look at golf, what is it that a golfer would be able to do or not do that where he would actually or she would actually financially benefit from that in regards to gambling? I mean, it's so different than the other sport. I mean, our sport, you want to play well. And even if you don't play well, nobody's making any money because you didn't play well. So I think it's no question that it would make sense. At the same time, the way that I think it makes the most sense is to appeal to fans, because fans would get more interested in what's going on if it's just a simple league where there's money involved, which would actually be considered sports gambling, or if they could bet on every stroke that happens in a match between Patrick Reed and Rory McIlroy in the Ryder Cup in Hazeltine in 2016, which is what you used to be able to do in England. You would go to the Belfry, you'd go to the Ryder Cup, and on site, there would be a betting parlor where every shot would change the odds of that particular match. It was tremendous. Why wouldn't people want to do that? Why, and where would be the concern from any sports league that somehow, some way, there's going to be some untoward action because it's gambling? There's not. So, I mean, the interest level would put the sport off the charts and get people more and more involved on a daily basis or a weekly basis. So I think it's just a tremendous idea.
We're talking with founder and publisher of Morning Read, Golf at a Glance. You can get all that information Monday through Friday just by simply going morningread.com. All right, one last thing before I let you go. A lot of our listeners have inquired of me on, how busy Alex Maselli seems to be, and they kind of expressed the sentiment that they felt bad that you're not playing enough golf, the sport that you love, and you're not playing it in good places. So I think we should share with them over the next couple of weeks a couple of the venues that you're going to be playing.
Well, I think, this has always been a ploy of yours when we were doing the show together, always trying to find out where I was going. in hopes that somebody would kidnap me and I would no longer be on the show. But obviously, I'll go ahead and play along with you. Yes, I'm going to Scotland for 5 days. That includes the Old Course, Carnoustie, Queen's Barns, Crail, Montrose. So, yes, I'm going there. I am going to be at Shinnecock and be playing Shinnecock. I am going to be playing Sand Valley for the opener of the Sand Valley in Wisconsin. So, I mean, does that deal with for you, or do you need more?
No, that's sufficient. I can only hope that maybe you could get some more historic places to play, but I'll leave that endeavor up to you. Alex Maselli, founder publisher of Morning Read. As I said, just go to morningread.com. Hey, thanks, Alex. Have a safe trip, play well, and talk to you soon.
Thanks, Bobby.
Always interesting to hear what Alex has to say. We'll see where the future lies on the PGA Tour and with the commissioner in gambling. But right now, Bob, it's time to groove up with Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf.
Well, last week at the Mitsubishi Electric Classic, which Steve Flesch won his first victory on PGA Tour champions. Congratulations, Steve. Big news, though, there were four vertical groove drivers in play, and that's without John Daly, Rocco Mediate, and Kenny Perry, who weren't in the field. Daly resting his knee after that Masters accident. I mean, can you imagine? Why aren't you going to play this week? Well, I got hit in the parking lot at Hooters by a lady driver. I mean, I mean, if you were in school and turned that in, they might look at you a little funny. But Mark Calcavecchia also played that new vertical groove three wood. He said he was very impressed. Certainly at this level of competition, players are going vertical because the technology works. And I tell you what's swinging a lot of people's opinion. They're reflecting back last year, Jay, when they watched Kenny Perry win the Senior Open with a vertical groove driver in his bag, not getting one penny to play that club. I mean, they're saying to themselves, hey, wait a minute. Somebody with the talent of Kenny Perry is willing to use a driver without being compensated? I better take a look at that driver, and they're liking what happens once they put a vertical groove club in their hands.
You know, Bob, I played last Tuesday night, really the first time I played in 2018 because the weather hadn't been real strong here. And it just it's a driver that I have so much confidence in. I love the way it looks. If you haven't gone to vertgolf.com, do it. Take a look at this unique club. Bob is dead on. When you see guys that get paid to use clubs that don't take the money and just want to use the driver, that says a lot, and it's got my personal endorsement. I don't even look at other drivers anymore because I know I've got the one I need, the vertical groove driver. Go to vertgolf.com to customize your vertical groove driver or three wood. That's vertgolf.com.
All right, we got time to take a quick look at the Valero Texas Open. By the way, please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf and on Facebook at the Grill Room Golf Show. Valero Texas Open, certainly one of the biggest charity contributors on the PGA Tour. Jay, they're Monday after their event. They have a pro-am that involves about 2,500 participants. I mean, it's amazing. They raise over $1 million on that one day. Hats off to the good people at Valero Texas Open. Of course, Sergio Garcia back playing. He had a little help in designing that golf course. Good to see him back there.
No doubt about it. You know, Ernie Els is in this field, young Bo Hostler. I'm going to tell you, I looked at last year, 2 years ago, Graham McDowell had a real good final round. I think he's going to be feeling good coming into this week. You also got Zach Johnson and Charlie Hoffman, who's been playing very well as of late. And Bob, along with the 2-year exemption, the winner gets a pair of custom-made cowboy boots.
See those on Jay Randolph Jr. right now. So somehow next year, maybe because you keep improving with that vertical groove driver, we may get you a sponsor's exemption and give Jay Randolph Jr. an opportunity to win a pair of those handmade custom-made, I should say, cowboy boots. And don't forget, the date, big news, the date next year, it moves to the week before the Masters. Going to be interesting to see how the dynamics of all that plays out. Valero, a tough track to play, and will the players want to do that prior to going down to Augusta? We'll have to wait and see.
You're listening to The Grow Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. Heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, Talk Sport 2. Tune in, Audio Boom, iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker Alexa to play The Grow Room Golf Show, and you'll be connected. When we return, we'll check out what's happening on the PGA Tour Champions.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at HealthySightForLife.org.
Well, it's a big week on the PGA Tour Champions because they're at the Bass Pro Shops Legend of Golf at Big Cedar Lodge, the Wilderness Resort. Isn't that in your neck of the woods, Jay?
It sure is, Bob. A man named Johnny Morris, the man that owns Bass Pro Shops, has, in a couple of years, they're going to talk about what's going on down in the Branson area like they do with Kohler and Abandoned Dunes. I'm telling you. With the Payne Stewart course, with the Cor Crenshaw course, with Tiger Woods, Tom Watson's doing a putting course. This guy has gone golf crazy. Tiger, in fact, this week doing a junior clinic, and my understanding, then going out with a couple of big-time bass fishermen on a solo trip. Johnny Morris knows how to throw a party, and this is a huge event. We all remember the old Legends of Golf down at Barton Creek in Austin that got everything started. They're really trying to bring it back. They may not have the type of characters, but they've got some good players.
That's amazing. You know, when you say the name Johnny Morris, right away comes to mind Johnny Harris, who's so huge in the Charlotte area and the Quail Hollow. And there are certain individuals that we're blessed to have in this country. Obviously, Johnny Morris could use his money to do whatever he wants, to get behind golf and to create a destination that is as unique as this one. I really think he deserves a lot of credit.
It's huge what they're doing. And like I said, it's starting, people are starting to figure it out. And we're just lucky that this guy has gotten the golf bug. You take a look, they're doing the two-man team event. John Daly playing with Michael Allen. Rocco Mediate, our man, is going to be playing with Lee Jansen. Kenny Perry, the pride of Paducah. Russ Cochran's his partner. And Mark Calcavecchia paired with the good old Woody Austin. I got paired with Woody Austin in the final round of the Insurance Youth Classic back in 1986.
And he was a character back then, I guarantee you.
Yep.
But the funniest thing, he was recently asked who's the biggest character he ever played with. And he said, well, back in 1986, I was paired with this guy. They called him J. Randolph Jr., and I never forgot him. So it's pretty equal. Great to see Kenny Perry back. You know, he's had that shoulder surgery. He's the reigning senior Open champ. And of course, because of that victory, he will compete in the U.S. Open in June if he's healthy out at Shinnecock. I'll be excited about seeing him out there. Some other interesting pairings, though, Jay. How about Carlos Franco and Vijay Singh? Boy, that's a pair of hardworking guys.
Well, I hope to tell you. I mean, that's two guys got big-time game. They start going low. You better watch out. Then you got my man with the cigar, Miguel Angel Jimenez, playing with fellow a Spaniard, Jose Maria Olazabal, Davis Love III, and an old member of the Oak Tree Gang from Edmond, Oklahoma, Scott Verplank. Watch out. You talked about Flesh getting that victory. Watch out for he and Mr. Toms, David Toms, this week. And a couple of veterans, Bob, and Jerry Pate and Gentle Ben, who you interviewed just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, and I really fancy the chances of Steve Stricker and Jerry Kelly, the Wisconsin duo. By the way, we forgot to mention Carlos Franco, Vijay Singh. They are the defending champions, so they certainly know how to get it done. And Mark O'Meara with Colin Montgomery. Boy, Mark, all I can hope for is that Colin's playing well, because you'll have a great guy to play with. And if he's not playing well, you won't know you're playing with anybody.
That's a little bit of a weird pairing. I mean, that's interesting, but both of them can still get it done. We'll see. Mark O'Meara and Colin Montgomery, a guy that everybody thought would win a British Open, Colin Montgomery, and a lot of people never thought Mark O'Meara would. Well, he did. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, Talk Sport 2, TuneIn, Audio Boom, iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker Alexa to play The Grill Room Golf Show, and you'll be connected.
Time now for a short break, and then we'll take a trip down memory lane with Tom Watson. Jay had a chance to have an in-depth conversation with Tom. You're not going to want to miss this. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Welcome back to The Grill Room, powered, of course, by Vertical Groove Golf. Coming up next, Jay Randolph sits down with Tom Watson. It's a good one. Enjoy.
Joining us right now is a gentleman who's one of the greatest players of all time. There's no doubt about it. Two-time Masters champion, that tremendous United States Open at Pebble Beach in 1982, and five, count them, five British Opens. Also, I should mention, a Missouri amateur champion. Mr. Tom Watson joins us. Tom, good morning. How are you?
And you forgot to say Masters par three champion of 2018.
Well, first, let me just do
one
this.
One for the old guys. Old guys rule.
Well, thank you. As somebody who sat and just watched, and I mean, the feeling, as you know, is the response has been, and is the response Jack had to the whole scenario. It was a magical day, Tom. I mean, you've always been a great striker of the ball. I don't think you've lost much of that striking ability. And you hit the shots. And then Jack's grandson makes an ace. And it was like we were back in 1978 with you battling Gary Player.
It was, yeah, actually, it was a magical day. Just the start of it, I started off with four birdies, and Jack had three out of four. And then he birdies another hole to go, and we were tied at four under, and Gary makes three birdies in a row, and it was three under. We're one shot apart, and I tell you, all the joviality was gone. We were trying to beat each other, and I ended up winning, fortunately, but the icing on the cake, or actually what superseded the whole thing, was the hole-in-one by Jack's grandson, GT. On the last of the ninth hole, we played in the par three there, and that was just so special to watch Jack's reaction, heck, everybody's reaction to his grandson making that hole in one.
I mean, nothing you just can't write scripts like that. And one of the things that's so exciting about your involvement with the Bass Pro Legends of Golf is that's a throwback, if you will, to the way this Champions Tour was created with Sam Snead and Bob Golby and Arnold Palmer and on and on. That's what is Johnny Morris has done an unbelievable job, along with the Champions Tour, of recreating some of that magic for the third week in April, and it comes off the heels of that fun we had on Wednesday. It should be awesome at the Bass Pro Shops Legends of Golf, and you're also involved in the property.
Well, the vision of Johnny Morris and Bass Pro is extended into the golf world, and it's just what he's done at Top of the Rock, Jack Nicklaus designed par 3 course, taking over the Legends Golf Tournament, which is the oldest senior tour event, and having it there at Top of the Rock in Buffalo Ridge Springs. And now he added a new course to play in the tournament. It's the Gary Player Mountaintop course. And oh, by the way, there are two courses, Ozark National and Paynes Valley, which are designed by a couple of hacks, Ben Crenshaw and Tiger Woods. He has created a golf mecca there, and it's going to be just a wonderful place to go and spend a week of your time playing golf, staying at Big Cedar Lodge, enjoying Table Rock Lake, all the other outdoor activities beyond golf that are right there in that one area.
Yeah, Tom, as you mentioned, I mean, you know, we got places like Bandon Dunes and Kohler, Wisconsin. I mean, Branson and what's going on at Top of the Rock and Big Cedar Lodge, I mean, we're a heartbeat away from being a worldwide golf destination.
No, it's in a couple of years when Paynes Valley, the Tiger Woods design golf course, opens up, it's going to be an A-list place to go to play golf.
I mentioned 1977 and 81, your two Masters victories, and this is probably not a fair question because you obviously became the king of the British Open as well and close at some PGAs and that historic win, that brilliant win, the chip in at Pebble. Does one stand out more than the rest? You know, growing up in St. Louis, I was always kind of a U.S. Open guy being here in the Midwest, but as time goes on, it's hard not to be a Masters guy with all that you see there. Was there one that stood out to you?
Well, I'll tell you how it stood out. The one tournament I always wanted to win the most was our National Open.
Sure.
Called the U.S. Open. And going into that tournament, Jay, I was hitting the ball so poorly. It was just smoke and mirrors to be close to the, you know, be close enough to lead where I had a chance to win after Friday's round. I shot a pair of even pars, but I mean, it should have been 77s or 78s almost. But I was just I was hitting the ball everywhere. I was hitting the ball so far offline, I was in the gallery. Fortunately, then it was Friday afternoon after my round. I went to the practice tee trying to find something that was going to get me, and I found it. And I used it the last two rounds, and magically my game kind of came around, and I ended up winning the tournament. That was the tournament I wanted to win the most. That phone call to my dad on Father's Day was the most joyous phone call I ever had. But if I look back at my career, the tournament that really defined my career, I think, was the British Open at Turnberry in 77. And I played the last two rounds with Jack Nicklaus and won by a stroke over Jack. And when he came off the green, he grabbed me by the neck and he squeezed my neck and he said, "You know, Tom, I gave you my best shot, but it wasn't good enough. Congratulations. I'm really happy for you." And coming from the greatest golfer ever lived, that gave me a boost of confidence that, yeah, I can play with the big boys now.
You proved again this past week that this is a game for a lifetime. You started as a young man in Kansas City. This has been your life. You look at Jack and Gary right there. And then, you know, the people that go to Augusta, the patrons. I mean, this is the one thing about our game, Tom, and you were a good athlete in other endeavors, but this is a game for a lifetime. Just like it says, the Bass Pro Legends of Golf. You still get to see these greats like the Mary Mex and you and all the folks that'll be down there. It is truly a game for a lifetime.
Well, that's the people who play the game. I think they understand that. People who don't play the game, it's a hard game to learn.
Oh,
it's a hard, very hard game to learn. My advice, if you're just thinking about it. My advice is to literally go, and just like anything else, you got to be taught. And who do you go to be? You go to a PGA pro, and you get three lessons. The first one, it kind of gets you started. You're going to struggle. Second lesson is you have to practice in between the first and the second. You go back to get some confirmation that you're doing it right. And the third lesson after practicing after the second lesson, now you're off and running. You have something to work on. And the number one thing is getting your hands on the club, the grip. Get them on properly to start. And if you get them on properly to start, then the game evolves from there, and you can show some progress early on. It's a tough game to learn, but that's the way I advise people to get started in the game. Once you get started in the game, I mean, it's look at Top Golf. You have 12% of the people at Top Golf. They go to the they go to the Top Golf, and then they want to play the game. They're playing the real game out on a golf course. It inspires them to go out and play.
And that's
what we need in our game.
Absolutely. That's what we need. We've got enough good amateur players. We just need people to get in this game, enjoy it, and really appreciate it. And that's what they can do if they head down to Branson for the 2018 Bass Pro Shop Legends of Golf. You will see the man we're talking with, 8-time major championship winner and one of the grand men of the game, Tom Watson. And Tom, before we let you go, two golf questions about the state right now. Jordan Spieth, obviously, with a brilliant start yesterday with a 66. Seemingly, he seems to feel very comfortable at Augusta. What do you think of this young man and maybe where his place in the game will be?
Well, the thing that defines Jordan Spieth is his guts. He's probably the most gutsy player on tour. He has it. He gives it everything he's got out on the golf course. He leaves nothing out there. Whether he's shooting 76 or he's shooting 66. That's what I love about the young man. He's a great young man. He's getting married. He's got a great family. And man, can he play. Mm-hmm. And there's so many stories here, Jay. You have the stories of Bubba Watson's coming back. Rory McIlroy's right there. You have Dustin Johnson. But the umbrella over it all is Tiger Woods. Is he back? And that's given this tournament, this Masters, the most exciting prequel, if you may, to run up to the Masters that I've ever experienced. It's been the electricity here is really beyond anything I've ever experienced.
You've known him since he was a junior golfer. He decided to go to your alma mater, Stanford. You've seen his success. You've known him. The number one thing here, Tom, about this return to me is he's healthy. Nothing would have mattered if this fusion or whatever the procedure was they did. He's healthy, and by being healthy, he can swing the golf club, and if he can swing the golf club, he can win.
We every Tuesday of the Masters, they have what they call a champions dinner, and we had 31 players there. Tiger was there, and I just looked him in the eye, and I said, "You got your speed back, don't you?" And he smiled back at me. He said, "I do," and I said, "Yeah, that's a really good thing." He had a registered club head speed of over 129 miles an hour, and that's the Tiger of old. And when you have your distance and your speed back, that means his back's in good shape, and he's going to be there again.
The health of our game is in wonderful shape at the PGA Tour level, thanks to people like Tom Watson and Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player. They'll be at the 2018 Bass Pro Legends of Golf. Go see the legends like Tom Watson. Tom, thanks so much for all you've done and for all you continue to do for this great game and continued success in all your endeavors, my man.